Okay, good songs to sing to warm our hearts. And it's lovely, isn't it, even in this day of the lockdown, to be able to meet together over the internet and to worship God together. And the verse I want us to consider tonight, particularly from the passage we read from John 6, verses 22 to 29, the verse I want us to particularly consider is verse 27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. I want us to consider then that verse, particularly tonight. Now then, there's a context, and the context obviously is that Jesus has fed the 5,000. Wonderful, wonderful occasion it would have been, that miracle. And remember the boy who had the five loaves and the two fish. Didn't have a penguin bar in his packing up, but there we are. He had five loaves and two fish. And the Lord used that, didn't he? And that's why in the reading it says, after he had after he had given thanks, because it's when God gives thanks that miraculously this bread and this fish, these fish, just multiplies to the point then that 5,000 men, plus women, plus children, are able to eat their fill, having listened to the Lord all day and been hungry. They're able to eat their fill, so much so that there are 12 basketfuls of leftovers. And we find that although many then went back, there was a great number still that was loitering, loitering with intent. They were wanting to be with Jesus. Here was someone who was different to anybody else they'd met. Here was someone who had just, out of, as it were, thin air, produced this glorious miracle. And we find that they're very observant. They're looking. They notice that the disciples leaving the boat, Jesus isn't with them. They knew to find Jesus meant to go and find the disciples. That's a good witness, isn't it? Just as an aside, do people know our witness? Do they know that if they want to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will be able to give them directions? Well, they look and they observe, and then providentially there are boats in Tiberias, almost like water taxis, and they get in and they go to find Jesus. And so far, so good. They're industrious, determined. They find the disciples. They want to find Jesus, and they go there and then. They don't put it off. And you would think, well, this is promising. And yet, in answer to the question that they ask, and it's a legitimate question, isn't it, on the face of it, Rabbi, when did you get here? What's Jesus's response? Well, in verse 26, we're told, and the way it's phrased, it means that we need to listen up. In the old translations, verily, verily, or truly, truly, here it says, I tell you the truth. And straight away, you see, he cuts to the chase. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, although man looks on the outward appearance, the Lord Jesus Christ looks on the heart. And he straight away pinpoints that they're coming to him for the wrong motives. I've got, if you will, some key words. I say key words, they're not really points tonight, it's more key words. Motives, priorities, seeking, and reward. Those are the kind of milestones, perhaps, in the message. And the first one then is motives. He sees their motives. On the face of it, all good. And yet he sees that they had the wrong motives. It's very searching. Now, I don't know how many of us are logged on here tonight. Thankfully, I can't see you, so I can't see the frown or the snooze or the smile. But you know, the Lord knows each and every one of us, and he knows our motives. Our motives for logging on tonight, we have to log on, because if we're not, we'll be missed. Questions will be asked. Or, I need cheering up. I'm lonely. Best had do. Anyway, we have all different motives. We know, don't we? We know that our heart is so deceitful. We know that we have different motives. And here you see, although the actions seemed good, and in many ways were good, yet the motives were not right. And an illustration, I think at the moment we've got, and it seems it's strange, but all of our doors in our house, the handles seem to be going at the same time. So upstairs, I don't even know if we have a handle, because the latches, I think they're all put in at the same time, and they all seem to have gone at the same time. So if you come to our house, upstairs certainly, you won't find any handles. And the doors, we seem strangely to get compliments on the doors. They look quite, in fact, you can just see one slightly in the background. It looks modern, and indeed it paints up nicely, although that one's primed, not painted. But, you know, they're not very good. And I like this phrase, actions are weighed as well as seen. What relevance has the doors got to do with that? Well, if you took the door off its hinges, in fact, if you tapped the door, you could tell. But if you took the door off its hinges and you lifted it up, you would think, well, this doesn't weigh anything. And that's the difference. If you were going to buy a door and you wanted a substantial door that perhaps would resist the fire and perhaps would resist young children and perhaps would be able to be screwed into without the screws giving way, then you would need to lift the door. Okay, actions, the Lord weighs the actions as well as sees them. And these people, their actions seem to be laudable. They seem to be doing all the right things, and yet the motives are wrong. What are our motives tonight, friends, in coming to this service of worship? Well, the Lord replies, doesn't he? He says this, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. And he warms up into this verse 27, which is what I want us to consider mainly tonight. So he says this, do not work, do not labor for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So having pinpointed the fact that their motives for seeking him are wrong, he then says what their priorities should be. You see, they were coming for a free lunch, and undoubtedly, and we can say this reverently, the food that they would have eaten, it wouldn't have been stale. You know, it would have been good food. They would have been filled. And there was love behind it in the sense of, remember, the reason the Lord, he had compassion on them. But they missed altogether what was he was pointing to. This one thing that is needful, he was pointing to the fact of who he is. He is the Messiah. They completely missed the picture. They completely missed it because they were really primarily concerned about their bodily needs. And so the second word, the second key word, if you will, then tonight, priorities. And again, friends, I find this so searching. You see, what the Lord here is saying is he says, don't labor for the food which spoils. Now, he's not saying, don't work. Remember, Paul says, if a man isn't willing to work, don't let him eat. So he's not saying that we're not to labor. Remember, that's our lot now, because we live in a fallen world and we are to work, we're to labor, we're to toil. But it's a question of priorities. And if in the cold light of day, if in this moment of stillness, we can just consider this. What's of more importance? The body or the soul? The temporal, the here and now, or the eternal? Ah, it's a question, isn't it? You see, under the umbrella of food that spoils, we can put these lists, we can put worldly wealth. Now, we need a paycheck, don't we? We need to be able to pay the bills. We need to put food on the table. We need food. We need water. We're designed that way. We're not camels. But it's our, it's the priority in our heart. It's what's first in our heart. It's what we think most about. It's what we give ourselves to. It's what we think is of most important that's being challenged here. What else under that umbrella of food that spoils? Position. You know, there's many people have testified to struggling in retirement because they said, you know, and when perhaps they're honest about it, my identity became in what I did, the job that I did. And my sense of fulfillment came in how I was perceived by others. It's a challenge, isn't it? Or what about leisure, pleasure? You know, we have a glorious world, Earth, haven't we? You know, we take in the views around our neck of the woods, and the trees each week, literally the trees' leaves are getting larger and fuller, as it were, in the canopy. I'm tempted to turn the camera. I'm not going to. That would be a bit too far left field, wouldn't it? But as I'm looking out now, there's this canopy of trees in the valley, and the different shades. And I could go on. Beautiful, lovely. But you know, that's not our priority. This world, it's a glorious thing. It's a fallen world, but God has created, and his creations is good. But you know, there are many people who spend their lives looking at God's creation and never even acknowledge the Creator. What about religion? Food that spoils, going after so close yet not hitting the mark, going after the things that somehow we think will do us good, or and it's for ourselves, and it's basically taking Christ out of Christianity or any isms or whatever it would be, and it's that takes up our time. And worse still, because we're in darkness, we think that those are the things that will do us good, and yet it does us no good because it fills us with self-righteousness and pride. We begin to judge others, all the rest of it. Anyway, there's more, I'm sure, but that umbrella, the food that spoils, and the Lord Jesus Christ says, don't go after that. Don't let that be your priority. He says what though? He says this, but for food that endures to eternal life, food that endures to eternal life. And you only have to look at the contrast. Food that spoils, you know, the soft fruit, it will last how long in the fridge? A few days perhaps, and then it spoils. The carrots in this weather, they don't seem to last as long as they used to. It'll spoil. Even the tinned food, eventually it has a shelf life. It will gradually not be as good over time. But here the Lord is contrasting that food that spoils, that food that won't last, that food that won't continually satisfy, with this, what? This food that endures to eternal life. In other words, he's saying the priority. Remember Paul when he said, we fix our eyes not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. He's saying, look up. He's saying, never mind your bellies, never mind this world, never mind the here and now. There's a greater dimension. There's the eternal, there's the spiritual. What was lost in Adam in the garden when he fell, this great gulf between God and man, there's an eternal. And you see, this verse is applicable both to the non-Christian and to the Christian, to the non-Christian. Do you know anything of this eternal? Do you know where to find it? Well, we'll come on to it. But for the Christian, we are the ones who are saying that we have this. We're the ones that are saying, we are saying we've joined the race. We're the ones that are saying we love the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, even as Christians, our motives can be wrong. Our priorities can be wrong. It's searching, isn't it? Because how much of our time is taken up with worrying about the next meal? How much of our time is taken up with wondering what we should do to decorate our room? How much of our time is taken up with making sure that our children are looked after and that there's some future for them? All these things are good in their place, but in their place, and Christ here tackles it and says, but what is the place? What is the place of most importance, the body or the soul? And of course, the answer is the soul, isn't it? And so he says, do not labor, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. He says then, get your priorities right. I like this. Don't give so much attention to the body as so as to neglect your soul. The first and best place in our thoughts are to be thoughts of salvation, thoughts of Christ. Let me ask a direct question then. How is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? You know, there's a bit of a, you could have a corny play on words, couldn't you? You know, when a car's not running very well and you say, well, it needs a service. Well, we have two services on a Sunday, and perhaps it is, you get to that point where you say, my soul, it needs a service, you know? Well, that's corny, isn't it? But the truth of it is this, even now, this service of worship, it's to nourish our souls, yes, to bring God glory, yes, to glorify God, to come and to worship God and to praise his holy name. But in so doing, the blessing of meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ is that our souls are nourished. Well, then, how to nourish? That's the question. How to nourish our soul? It's an important question, isn't it? Having considered all too briefly, how is it with my soul? We ask the Lord to examine us, search our hearts, O Lord, see if there be any wicked way within us. Lord, is there a dryness? Is there a shrivel, an aspect dryness, but then also a canker, an offness? Well, Lord, I need my soul to be nourished. And here he says then, do not work for the food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Now, some have interpreted this to mean, well, that means we don't need to work for this because God gives it to us. No, we're not talking here about salvation per se, because we know, don't we, that we cannot earn our salvation. There's so many other scriptures that puts us in our place in that respect. We know that we cannot earn our salvation. It is a gift of God. But now you see, we're told to work, to labor, to strive. What are we to do? We're to go after, we're to seek. So that's the third key word then, seeking. You know, it's not a passive thing, this Christianity. You know, we cannot earn our salvation, and in being Christians now, we cannot keep our salvation by our own strength. But remember what Paul says, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. You know, we are told to storm the gates of heaven. We are told to go after. We are told to seek him. And that absolutely is our responsibility. And he says elsewhere, later on in the passage, he says, I am the bread of life. So in seeking this bread, this food that endures for eternity, who are we seeking? We're seeking Christ. We're to feast on his pure delights. We're to seek on Christ. How are we to nourish our souls? To seek Christ. Elsewhere, we can call it the means of grace. This service of worship is a means of grace. Reading the Bible is a means of grace. Prayer is a means of grace. Now, we've had a conversation this week on WhatsApp with my Welsh family. I've got two families on the go, English family and Welsh family. Well, the Welsh family, there's been this conversation, potatoes, are they vegetables or not? And seemingly it's in a newspaper and it's a debate that surfaces. My wife quickly, succinctly declared, botanically, they are potatoes. Nutritionally, they are carbohydrates. There we are, after a couple of minutes of trying to digest and understand that. Well, we had this ongoing conversation about it. But it's interesting, you see. The nutritionists are quite keen to say, look, they're not vegetables, because they know what folk are like. Because we're told, aren't we, we're to have five a day. And I think recently they've upped it to five of fruit and five of veg. You can't combine, it's not a pick and mix. Well, there will be those who, and maybe even those who are listening, who would want to use potatoes then as one of their five a day. Why? So they could settle in their mind that they've had one of their five a day without really having to take on much nutrition. Now, it can be like that in seeking God. You see, we can say, well, I've read my Bible. I've prayed, I've done church, I'm here, I've signed up, and we can satisfy our conscience, or we can keep the walls from the door, we can keep people from prying and saying, well, you know, how is it with you? Because we've gone through the motions, or we've ticked the box. That's not seeking, friends. That's not seeking. What is it to seek? What is it to seek? Well, I like this one. I think it's Matthew Henry. We are to read like men or women digging for treasure. That's good, isn't it? We're to wrestle earnestly in prayer as though we were wrestling with an enemy. You know, we're to hear the word of God intently. This is God speaking to us. This isn't just the news report. This isn't just some important information being given out. It's far more important than that. Remember the priorities. This is for our soul's benefit. And isn't God good? Because he's given us Sundays. Now, I don't know about you, but I try and use Sundays to try and have a bit of a rest. Screen time, we try and, the TV's gone to sleep, that type of thing. Try and not look at my phone too much, because throughout the week we're bombarded, aren't we? And God has given us a day set aside, given to him, yes, but that we might be nourished. And isn't it lovely? It's the first day of the week. It sets us up for the week, doesn't it? It sets the tone for the week. Well, do you use the means of grace as someone might use potato in terms of using it as a one of the five? I hope not. You know, think of the word. I like those who sometimes say they've had some preaching and maybe they've come up and they say, I'm sorry, I'm still hungry. That's good, isn't it? There's an appetite there. But I also like those people who come up sometimes and say, well, I'm willing to forage, you know, even, you know, perhaps there's only a little bit there of food. Well, you see, we're to have an appetite. We're to go after the Lord. We're to seek him. We're to feast upon him. He is the bread of life. And if the food that he gives to those 5,000 is fresh, or isn't he fresh? When we really meet with him, when we really commune with him, when we really fellowship with him, when we, at his disposal, these unsearchable riches of grace, when he, in his kindness, ministers to our soul and nourishes us with himself, a taste of himself, taste and see that the Lord is good. Friends, there is nothing like it, is there? And finally, reward. I would say, just briefly, sorry on that, don't look to the left or the right, because you'll always see some lazy jokers. Don't be content. Don't be content to go the same pace as everyone else. Look ahead. You know, good runners, they'll always have among them people who are better runners. They'll always want to get in amongst and have pace setters, because it stretches them. Find good people, good examples. Find them in books if you need to, and run at their pace. Seek, go after them. Remember, Paul said, imitate me in so much as imitating Christ. He was ahead. That's the pace. Let's go after him. And we find then that our appetite grows. And not only then, in terms of encouraging our appetite, there's also guarding against our appetite being dulled. Last week I was saying to my wife, it gets to tea time, it gets to meal times, and I don't feel that hungry. And she said, yes, that's because an hour or so before you're hungry and you end up having a snack. And she was right. So I stopped having the snack. Lo and behold, by mealtime, I'm hungry. Well, our soul, you see, we can feed our soul rubbish. You know, we can snack on things to try and satisfy. We can snack on entertainment to try and make up for that soul's hunger. Oh, friends, we have to fight against the world, the flesh and the devil. Okay? So motives, priorities, seeking, and then reward. You know, he says this, which the Son of Man will give you. That's certain, isn't it? What a promise. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. In other words, he's an authorized dealer. It's an official merchandise. Can we put it like this? That's too flippant, isn't it? Well, let's put it like this. Christ has the authority to give us grace. Christ has the authority to nourish us. Christ has the authority to meet and sup and fellowship with us. He's free to do it, and he's willing. Now, we can never say we've earned this, but I think we can say we are rewarded with seeking him. It's given by the Son of Man. What a hope. Now then, just in closing, if I can find them on my desk, I have some four verses, and maybe there are questions, maybe there are a situation for you tonight, the context that we live in, or the context of your own situation. Do you feel, let me ask you this, do you feel your soul to be somewhat withered from a lack of watering? Are you sat there thinking, I think I remember what it is to be nourished. Where is the blessedness That for once I knew when first I saw the Lord, where is that soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Let me give you this verse. It's in context of the certain promise of rescue. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Your motives, your priorities, give him everything and don't stop until you find him. And then what about this? Is he really, really willing still to feed me when I have so treacherously treated him? Well, he's promised. Matthew 7:7. I want to give you this verse. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Our Father is a good Father. And he delights to give his children good things. But what about this situation now that we're in? Surely we must give more attention to our health, our protection, our loved ones. Surely there are many, many questions to ask, the cares that we have. Well, remember when Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith," in Matthew 6. He said, "Don't worry." And then he says this, "But seek first." This is what you are to do. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Give it the top priority. And all these things will be given to you as well. And remember, this final verse, it's not a faith in faith. We've had this a couple of times recently, haven't we? We don't have faith in faith. We have faith in Christ. You see, in verse 28, they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And he says this in verse 29, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." You know, the miracles were pointing to who he was. You know, as Christians, we can forget this. We can begin to look at our own faith instead of this. It's not our faith in faith, it's our faith in Christ. We look to Christ. This is our God. In Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If you're not a believer tonight, well, it means your priorities are all wrong. This body, in a few years, maybe in a few weeks, will be dust. But our souls are eternal. If you are a Christian tonight, we get caught up with the cares of this world, don't we? And Christ tells us so clearly here, what are our motives? What are our priorities? Seek him and he'll be found. It's the same answer, isn't it? Jesus, Jesus, all sufficient. Well, may God bless you. May this seed fall on good soil and may it bear fruit. Amen.